I've got some good friends out there. Some of you I've known for a long, long time. I'm what they call a home person. I'm from Arkansas. I'm one of you. I like Arkansas. I like the Arkansas district. I like youth camp. I like camp meeting. I like the people of God. I like Sunday night service. I like to worship the Lord. I love to see people born in this family. And I'm anxious. I'm finding myself anxious already. We can say the final amen and tally up the count and say that 10, 15, or 20 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the first night of the youth camp in 1981. It can happen. 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 Now, I've sort of been taking names. I wrote down a name, too, when I come through. I asked a young lady, a few young men, are you going to help me out tonight? Some of them said, oh, yes, we're going to be right there. Some of them did not commit themselves. And I kind of promised one that I would call her name out if she didn't really help me out. But she's doing all right. So, Nola, I'm not going to mention your name to them tonight. I'm just going to depend on you to continue, along with all the rest of you, my good friends. Everybody in this place tonight that loves Jesus, say, praise the Lord. And everybody that don't, we hope to stir you up so hot and so heavy and so strong this week that you will love Him like you've never loved Him before. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus said this, without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? And that's exactly what's going to happen tonight if Jesus don't bless. If Jesus don't bless, that's exactly what we got to look forward to. But I believe He is. I believe He has. I believe He can. I believe He wants to. And I'm trusting Him that He's going to do just that. I'm going to preach the subject tonight that Brother Dean will recognize the theme, because I was kind of on this theme the last time I visited him. And this subject and this idea about what a person becomes and what you can become when you become a child of God. And this subject would simply be entitled The Value Changer. The one that changes values, and everything that he touches changes in value for the better. Let me just say it to you this way. I have not checked up on the price. I don't know what the human body is worth in a dead form. Perhaps it's worth $5 or less. The chemicals in your body may be worth at the most $5. I doubt that. Without the Holy Ghost, that's probably what you are worth. That's probably your value. But before this night is up, with God's Spirit in your heart and life, you can be the most valuable thing that God has on this old globe. In fact, He could say about you, he or she has joined the ranks of those that are bought with a price. He could say when he looked at the sparrow and he named the value of a sparrow, he said they are of such value that not one of them falls to the ground that I don't watch the fall and reshuffle the count. And then he said, you are of more value than many sparrows. Of more value, and I'm talking about the value changer. I was going to read from Matthew 22. Let's just mention that briefly, and then we'll read from Matthew 14, the 14th chapter of Matthew. Let me say this in passing. Jesus asked them, they said, should we pay tribute to Caesar or not? They were trying to catch him in a question. And he asked whose inscription is on the coin, and they handed him a coin. And They said, well, that's Caesar's inscription. And he said, well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God, that belongs to God. But what I thought when he held that coin in his hand, if you had that coin tonight, the very coin that Jesus took in his hand, when he said, whose inscription is this? If you had that coin, or perhaps any of the coins minted during that year, if you had that particular coin in your possession, then you wouldn't have to worry about how you were going to afford that Z28 or that Corvette. Somebody would say, if you'll give me that coin, you can have a brand new automobile. And knowing me, I'd say, bring on the car. Perhaps you would be a little more sentimental about the relic or the coin. But what would give the coin its value? Others, hundreds like it, would perhaps be of far less value. What would make the difference in the value? The difference would be because the value changer put his hand upon it. Now from the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 34 through 36, just a few short verses. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They brought in all the sick folk, all those that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And this verse, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I said, and as many as touched were made what? Perfectly whole. You that have perfect bodies tonight, without any abnormalities or deficiencies, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for health and for strength. Amen. Everybody said amen. Thank you, Lord, for a healthy body. Now, I was in Cummings Prison yesterday. I visited with about 17 to 20 young men yesterday in the Arkansas State Prison. I'll not burden you all week with the stories from there, but I did want to bring you a report from the Arkansas State Prison. I want to bring you the report from the chapel area where I preached to these young men yesterday. When the service was about over, I asked the young men, I said, tomorrow night, if the Lord tarries, I will be preaching to the Arkansas District Youth Camp, 1981. The 11-year-olds through the 14-year-olds. That will be the folks I'll be preaching to. I said, now, you fellas understand the age group. I said, now, what do you want me to tell them? What kind of word do you fellas in white? You fellas behind bars. What do you want me to tell those young men and women when I get to the Redfield tomorrow night? Well, there was immediately a chorus of voices. One young man said, tell them to keep on doing what they're doing, lest they end up down here with 25 years to serve in payment for wrong. Keep going to youth camp. Somebody else said, tell them to love Jesus with all of their hearts. Somebody else said, tell them that if they'll go to church and love God and receive His Spirit, be baptized in His name and walk with Him, then they won't have to live like caged animals like we're having to live. I said, I'll go tell them. Somebody else down there told me and said, look, tell them that if they get out of church and start acting like we acted, then they are going to be joining us down here before we leave. Some of them, you see, will still be there when you get old enough to make your trip unless Jesus gets a hold of your heart. So you see, some of those men are just waiting for the time when the law gets a little close to your trail and you are incarcerated like they are. But we're going to change all of that. That's not going to happen because I told them we were going to pray young people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and their value is going to change because Jesus is going to save them. Charles Singleton is a young black man on death row. He is some 50 feet, perhaps not very much further than from me to the sound room, away from the electric chair. Arkansas has constructed a new $90,000 electric chair, and it's there for those that have offended the law, those that have committed murder and horrible crimes. Charles Singleton is one of the young men on death row. Charles handed me a paper yesterday while I visited him. They brought him in the day room with his hands cuffed behind his back. They opened those heavy metal doors and slammed those doors shut. Charles and myself, along with Carl Collins, were in there together to talk about the Lord. I have baptized Charles. I baptized Carl. Charles brought me a paper, and he said, I want you to look at this paper. He says, I've only got a sixth grade education. He said, now, this paper lists my crime. This tells in detail how I stabbed that woman to death that evening in the store. He said, I want you to put in lay language so I can understand it or have it done exactly what they are charging me with. Because, you see, the night that Charles took this elderly woman's life in this store from the Camden area, Camden, Arkansas, Charles was high on some kind of a drug. I don't even know what it was. I heard the information from that area that said when Charles walked into that store and demanded that woman's money, that he began to stab her. He was completely out of his head. He stabbed her on the left side of her neck and on the right side, on the left side and the right side, and blood began to spurt. Before they could get any decent medical attention, this 62-year-old woman was dead with her blood all over that place. Charles took off out of the store with his hand in the air, with the knife flashing and blood running down off his elbows, screaming and screaming until they captured him and put him on death row to await death in the electric chair. Well, I got to tell you about that man. I said that we are happy tonight to introduce to you the value changer. His name is Jesus. I met this disturbed young man at his cell door before I ever visited with him in the day room. I told him about Jesus. This young man is barely 21. They're a fair-complected, good-looking young black man. I mean, he's a physical specimen. He's not a wild man, not a crazy man, very settled man, very serious man. A young man that since that time knows the Word of God better than most of us know the Word of God. He lives in the book. But when I met him and I told him about Jesus, he said, can I be changed? I said, Charles, you can be changed. He said, can the Lord love me? I said, Charles, the Lord can and does love you. I said, say, man, let me pray for you. And he said, that suits me fine. So I reached my hand inside of that cell bar. He caught it with both of his hands and knelt behind those bars to the floor. And I stood there with my hand inside, with the television, with the electronics eye watching me from the room down the way where the guard was. But I stuck my head in there, and I began to pray. I felt him shudder when the value changer began to put his hand upon him. I felt him when the glory of God began to get a hold of him. And I'm glad to tell you today that there is a young man today in Cummings, Arkansas, more than one, but at least that one that has been changed, has been filled with God's Spirit, has been forgiven of his sins, that loves Jesus, and that is ready for the trumpet to sound. Jesus is a value changer. He changed his value. You know the difference between a good service and a bad service? Jesus is the difference. This old barn tonight's the barn. The value of this gathering is nothing until the value changer gets inside, and then this air that is nothing but musty and dusty old air, all of a sudden this place becomes a temple. All of a sudden this place becomes a very treasured and blessed place, because the value changer steps inside and says, I'm here to turn ever nothing in this place into a something. Brother Dean, I'm still on that subject. I said this value changer is in this place tonight to turn ever nothing in here into a something. He's here to give status to those that don't hardly know what the word status even refers to. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, we all recognize the term good for nothing. My dad used to like to put that term on me. He said, of all my boys, he said, son, you are the most good-for-nothing one of the bunch. And I was. I took pride in it. I was like some of you. I didn't even try to look good. If my blue jeans didn't look bad, I made them look bad. I wouldn't wear a hat that looked good. I'm like some of you. I wanted it to look bad, and I wouldn't wear it. I wouldn't button my shirt up right. Wouldn't put on shoes if I didn't have to do it. I mean, I was just anti-this, anti-that. And he'd say, he'd put me to give me a job to do. And man, it never got done right. I'm sorry about that. I'm not bragging. But I was lost. I was unsaved. I was worthless and good for nothing. You recognize the term. And why? Some of you have been called that. But what a difference. I said, what a difference when Jesus moves in. What a difference when Jesus puts his hand upon you. Oh, let me tell you what I'm thinking about tonight. There's a very famous sculpture, a very famous marble work of art in Florence. I think it's Italy, Florence, wherever it's at. Florence, they said. Well, I haven't seen this thing, but I've always been intrigued by it. They say that this artist, sculptor, went to work on this marble slab, and he chipped out of that marble slab the figures of people, boys and girls, men and women, a dozen or so. And he did enough work on this marble slab and on these people to give you a glimpse of people emerging from the rock. Now, I want you to picture this, because it illustrates a great truth tonight that I want to bring to you. I said he did just enough work on this big marble slab to give the impression that there were people accidentally entombed in that stone, and they were straining to get out of that stone, or out of that place where they were entombed. Somebody there had head and shoulders out, and maybe a foot and a leg out, and his hand is on the marble, and that one is forever enshrined in that position with a look of straining on his face as he is attempting to break himself loose from that stone that holds him a prisoner. Another one has lifted one leg as though to step out, and that's as far as the sculptor took that one. There are others that have their hands raised like this. They're flexing their muscles as though they're saying, I'm going to burst out at any minute. Others in different positions. But the artist that did the work left the work unfinished. And every marble statuette there, every man and woman in that group and in that grouping, is forever enshrined and forever entombed in that marble slab. They can never be released. The reason they can never be released is their artist has long since died. The man that started the work is dead. And those figures will never step out of their marble enclosure. Their potential will never be realized. Their personalities will never be a big thing. We'll never really see their definite and true personalities. Let me say this tonight. I'm talking to you. And I do want you to listen. With the help of the with your supervisors, with the help of your principal, with the help of your youth leader and day teachers and staff, what we are going to undertake to do this week is to continue the work that's already started. Some of you stand tonight as though you are going to burst out, but something in the world still has a hold upon you. Others of you have a look upon your faces when we're worshiping. It's evident that there's something wrong, that you want to be set free. But as of now, you still are not free, and you want to go free. Well, I got some good news for you. Our artist is not dead. Our sculptor is not dead. Our creator is not dead. Our God, not dead. Our God's alive. He's here to set you free tonight. He's here to set you free. My God. How we want to see what your potential is before this week is up. How we want your value to change. Why, of what value is the hippie? Of what value is the booze hound or the pothead, the dope fiend? What value is the streetwalker? What value is this? It's of no value. But the value changer is in this place tonight. Let's look at a man. I want to say this, young people. When you serve Jesus, you increase in value. Every day of your life, you increase in value when you serve Jesus. When you serve the world, you depreciate in value every day. The older you get, the more you depreciate. The less time the world's got for you. The less opportunities are presented to you. It don't get better when the devil moves in. It gets worse when the devil moves in. Brother Dean said, let's have a brother Lumpkin said, let's have a hair check. Let's check the boys' hair. What's he talking about? We don't want the devil to move in on this camp. We don't want the devil to move in on this camp. He decreases its worth. It's not worth too much if the devil's in charge. It's only worth something if Jesus is in charge. Amen. You know why he said, we don't want you out in the dark. We don't want you doing things you ought not to do. Why? We don't want the devil in this camp. We want Jesus in this camp. There's somebody that has a nothing that's going to be changed into a something before this week is up. Everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Lord, walk on this camp tonight. Walk down these aisles tonight. Let me be one of the first to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset me. Let me lay aside all rebellion. Let me lay aside all of my smart mouth talking and my belligerence. Let me lay aside everything that would keep me entombed into that old rock. And let me burst forth out of that rock. Let me step out of my shell and out of my cocoon. Let me walk out among the people of God. Let me have the presence of God down inside of this body. I want to realize my potential in Jesus. And we want you to have the same thing. The boys from the prison said, tell them, unless they continue to serve God, then many of them will be down here to see us spend our last days in this prison. I look at a man called Lazarus, and at one the Bible calls a rich man. And Lazarus was a sick man. Nobody likes to be sick. He was a man that was full of sores. And nothing is nauseating quite like a sore. Have you ever had a fever blister? What if you had them from head to toe? Man, the one on your lip almost kills you. And this man was a sick man. This man had no Medicare, no Medicaid, no ambulance, no clean white sheets, no nurse, no doctor. But this man had one thing. He had God in his heart. Amen. And God went down and saw a sick man full of sores. And when they fancy-dressed young sweet things walked down the street, they would say to each other, let's move on the other side of the street. That old nothing is over there. That old sick man with the dogs are hanging around him. He's over there. Let's walk the other side of the street. And others would say, I can't look at the man without getting nauseated. They want to walk on the other side. Lazarus, what are you worth tonight? What is your value? What can you actually say? This is mine. It's my house, my car, my family. What is it? Nothing. Nothing but full of sores. But inside of his heart was a love for God. The value changer said, listen, Lazarus, hold on to God. You are increasing with value. In a few days, the Lord said, son, your suffering is now over. It's time for you to come on home. I've prepared a place for you. And the Lord got him some well-dressed angels and said, say, I want you to take a trip down to that dusty old street corner. I want you to put your hand upon a boy by the name of Lazarus. And I want you to escort him home. A band of angels coming to escort him home. But the man of great earthly value, whose name was simply called the rich man, had no love of God. All he had was his money. He said, I'm worth $1 million. I'm worth a lot of money. I can call the shots because of my wealth and my money. But when it come time for this man to die, God didn't send any angels. God didn't send a heavenly escort. The Lord just took him. And the Bible says in hell, he simply died and in hell. He died and in hell. Sin, you see, depreciates things. Sin depreciates human relationships. Sin depreciates human lives, and you'll end up like a rusted old car with its fenders falling off and crushed under the great impact of that machine that crushes cars and throws them in the junk pile. And the rich man that didn't love God died and in hell. I said, whatever the devil touches, he depreciates. You better listen. Listen careful. You young ladies, you feel like the way to be popular is to play footsie with the devil. You are fooling yourselves. You're getting ready to depreciate yourselves. You're getting ready to go down and not up. You are going to give away the best thing that you ever have. Don't give in to the devil, but give your lives to Jesus. You'll increase in value. I said you'll increase in value, and the relationship will be better in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said the value changers in this place. I'll tell you what, Brother Dean, I don't know how about you fellas. I guess I could say I know about you too. But the people in my church that love God the most are those that were the lowest down when God found them. I could tell you some stories I wouldn't even tell you because we're too close to home. But, oh, yes, sir. Brother Coy, you're sitting back there. You know my stories. You heard some of them. Praise God. We got some in our place. I could tell you some stories. Who loves God the most? It's the ones that was really low down. Their names was bad. Had bad names. Reputations. Bad, you know. Nobody, you wouldn't want your daughter to hang around with this type of people. And your son to hang around with this type of people. But one day, they come in the church house with all their makeup on, with all their worldly attire. And they walk in there with their hard features and their hateful looks on their faces. And all of the sin in the world seem to be attached to their bodies. But somehow, in the service, the value changer with tiptoeing down the aisle, somewhere in the middle of the precinct, and let his hand upon somebody's head and said, say, I'd like to take your ruined existence. I'd like to take this worthless old body, this worthless old frame, and bad reputation, and I'd like to turn it into something. And they gave their lives to Jesus, and he changed their value. They're some of the best that we've got. And I mean that when I say some of the best we've got. You know what I'm telling you tonight? I said the value changers. Yeah. Man, I don't know what I got in my pocket. I hate to tell you. I do have in my front pocket a Sunday school today. I didn't have a dime, nothing. I had a billfold just empty. I happened to get some after church today, but I got 25, 30, 31 cents right here. Wouldn't it be something tonight if the value changer was to just step down to this pulpit and say, son, let me see that quarter. All he had to do is just put his hand on that quarter. Every one of you in the building would say, let me see that quarter. I say, man, it's just like the one you got. If you got one, you ought to have one. This is the first of youth camp.
You hadn't even got to sit with the girls yet, let alone buy them a drink. You know? There's your quarter. Yeah, I'll let you see it. Can I touch it? Okay, but just touch it because I don't want to lose it. I'm not going to pass it around. Well, what's with it? Jesus put his hand on it. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, some mamas and daddies turned some little tyrants loose on us at camp. They've done it before. And when they leave, when they come here, nobody can seemingly do anything with you. But after you're here a while, and the value changer moves in, puts his blessings on you. When you walk home again, mom and daddy says, say something took place. Let me put my hand on you. Let me put my arm around you. Come here, son. Shake daddy's hand. Come here, daughter. I want to hug you. What's the difference? You're the same girl. You got the same address. You got the same clothes. You got the same friends. Everything's the same. But there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. The value changer. Put his hand upon it. Put his hand upon you. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference. You know what he wants to do tonight? He's not here to take a dime from your pocket, Brother Robinson. He don't want your money. He don't want your talent and your ability and your great knowledge. All he wants to do is to make something out of you. All he wants to do is to give and give and give and give and give and give. Amen. Some of you big shots, you don't have it figured right. You think the way to be Mr. It or Mrs. or Miss It is to be just a little sneaky and a little worldly. As long as you listen to that lie, you will be worthless. Brother Dean, I can say if I had a hat, I'd take it off tonight to some of these great spiritual warriors that have lived for God in trying and testing times. They've lived for God. They are valuable. They are valuable. My young people and my church, we've got the best young people's group we've ever had since I've been at this particular church for 10 years. You know what they are to me? They're valuable. You know why I'm going to preach against rebellion? I don't want rebellion to get in my young people. You know why I'm going to say, boys, get a haircut? Because that long hair is rebellion and symbolic of a rebellious youth. You know why I'm going to tell my young ladies to dress decently and holy? Because I don't want the devil causing them to display themselves to create lust and desire and to cause them hurt and harm at such young years. I want them to have the best. They are treasures to me. They're treasures. They're treasures. They're priceless. And I said, devil, you're not going to get my daughter. I love her. You're not going to get her. And I'm going to stand firm for it. She's of too much value. She's bought with a price. I said, she's bought with a price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's everyone say hallelujah. Everyone say hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. These musicians would come. I feel definitely tonight the value changer wants to move in and he wants to bless somebody. Hallelujah. I said the value changer. The value changer. Bartimaeus, by the wayside begging, what is he worth? Nothing. Who wants to spend any time with Bartimaeus? He's a nothing. A beggar. But oh, when Jesus comes by, he changes the value. Amen. Just prior to tonight's service, you could have walked in here and not felt hardly anything at all. Just the vast emptiness of this great old tabernacle. But I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I kind of think I do. Hallelujah. There's a difference. The value changer. Amen. You got problems at home? He can change the value. You know what? You're looking at a man that loves his wife and that loves his daughter and loves his church and loves his friends. I love them. They are valuable. Brother Ruff, they are my treasure. Amen. I treasure them. You know why? Because the value changer put his hand upon my scrambled brain one day and showed me what was gold and what was imitation. I left following the mirage, the elusive dream and phantom that's on the horizon, the pot of gold that's beyond my reach. I forsook the world with its veneer and covering. And today I'm serving the one true and living God. And He's changed the value. How many of you preachers in this building tonight have looked into your billfold Sunday morning and wondered how you were going to meet the bills? Nothing in there. Just a few dollars. Some of you have been broke before. Don't look at me like that. I'm not the only one who's ever been broke. But how in the world could I have known this morning in our church? The Lord had already spoken to a man in our church. I had paid a bill on Friday, and I didn't have enough money in the bank to cover it. Oh, yes. But my wife and I decided when the Lord puts His hand upon what you got, He can turn nothing into something. We wept on the way home when we started opening up a few envelopes, because there were people that weren't rich folks, just ordinary folks, that God had spoke to them. And they said, we're going to see to it that our preacher is taken care of. And the Lord put His hand upon a nothing. And tonight, would you believe it? Don't tell my wife. She won't be here till in the morning, I don't think. Or late tonight. Don't tell her. But a man slipped me $100 bill. How many of y'all got one of those? Amen? If you tell her, you're going to get some. I got one in my bill for my pocketbook, and I'm going to button it up. Some of you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Amen. What is the difference? Jesus! Oh, what's the difference? Jesus. Jesus. Let's stand in His presence. I want the girls to sing something beautiful out of my life while they come in to sing. Who is it tonight would like to become worth something? I would like to invite you. I can tell you what's going to happen tonight. I believe it. You believe it. Somebody's value is going to change. Amen. A horrid existence is going to turn into a heaven. You know what my Lord does when He touches a relationship? He gives you beauty for ashes. For every worthless thing in here, the value changer is going to turn it into something. Oh, I want to see you after service. I want to shake your hand when you testify and say, I come in here cold, lifeless, empty, dead in my soul. But now I see things differently. I feel differently. Something's happened to me. Something's happened to me. I'm different. I'm changed. I see things different. Jesus has paid me a visit. The value changer is in this place. Would you sing it? Who would like to come while they're singing? Let me see from the boys' side first. You that don't have the Holy Ghost, boys. Somebody start it out right now. Come right on to these altars. Come right on, boys. Start it out. You're supposed to be the leaders. You fellas that need God. Some of you that already have the Holy Ghost, come with them and help them pray. Here they come. You girls, watch them come. You're going to want to know who to talk to this week. Watch these that are seeking God. These are the men that are going to be worth something. The Lord is going to change the value of them. There's only six boys, seven coming, and eight. Oh, praise God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's another young man. And another one. There's about 10 now, or 11. Come right on, fellas. Yes, sir, I see you, son. Come right on, young men. Now, young ladies, you that need God, would you join us? Would you come also? There's altars for you to pray in.
Oh, Jesus under
the oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All I have to offer him.
What brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Sing it again while the girls come. Only have about five young ladies. Where are you, girls? How many of you young ladies want the Holy Ghost tonight? Thank the Lord. How about you, young men? That's it. You see a young lady beside you?
Oh, yes, God.
Bring her on. Bring her with you. Help her to get saved. Let the Lord bless you. Come out on her. All I have to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Everybody sing it with me, would you?